I included the first six verses of our reading today from Luke, almost as a cameo or a prequel, if you like, to today's reading from the lectionary. I guess in today's TV terminology, it would be a recap of last week's episode or series, to set the scene for what is to come, or to remind the viewer how it all fits together. So we have Mary, who has recently had a miraculous encounter with a real life angel and been told she's pregnant with the Son of God. I want you to this morning cast your minds, imagine what the events that I'm going to be talking about would have been like for those individuals, and particularly in Mary's mind. Thinking about Mary, how do you respond to what has just happened to her? Well, the next verses tell us that she packed her things and hurried off to see her relative, whom she knows is also miraculously pregnant. In her old age, Elizabeth is pregnant. And news like that in those communities would go around like wildfire, as would Mary's predicament too. So when you have a problem or a circumstance and you have no idea what to do next, what do? You go to someone who knows how you feel. Someone who you know will be able to identify with what you are currently going through. I had one of my soldiers last year. You prayed for him. His name was Rich. And his son got seriously ill. And, you know, the outcome was that his son died in May of last year. Rich and his wife Katie had done some fundraising, so they had some money. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me telling you this. And so with that money, they set up a charity. And I spoke to him a while back, and that charity is now supporting other couples in a similar situation to them. So they have taken that terrible, terrible event in their own lives and are using it to help other people who are going through the same thing. Back to Mary. Mary rushes off to Elizabeth's house. I don't know how far it was, but Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant by this time. Perhaps Mary is questioning her experience the next day. Did that really happen to me? Did I dream that? I'm sure she didn't, but I'm just putting myself in her mind. Was it a dream? What am I going to do? How do I tell Joseph I'm pregnant? How do I tell my parents? Maybe she told her parents she needed to get out of the house, and so she hot-footed to go and see Elizabeth. So Mary seeks out the only other living person, and perhaps the only other person in biblical history. She told, who knows what it is to be having a miraculous birth. There are a few others in the Bible, but two ladies at the same time. So she seeks her out, and as she walks in the door, she must have said, hello. She's greeted by Elizabeth. And all her doubts are washed away. What a moment that must have been for Mary. Because Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. Now, I don't know if Elizabeth knew what was happening to Mary. We don't know that. The text doesn't tell us that. But she might have gone there. She might have told nobody at this stage. I don't know. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Wow. And then Luke goes on to write Mary's song, which Rod beautifully read out for us. A song of rejoicing, maybe of relief, of praise. Maybe a song cementing her acceptance about what is going to come. We then read that Mary leaves Elizabeth's home after about 3 months. And I'm guessing, timelines, 3 months, 6 months, around the time of John's birth. I don't know if it was after John was born or just before, to get out of the way for the tsunami of what's going to happen with John's birth. I don't know, but it doesn't tell us that. And by this time, Mary's 3 months pregnant, so she's probably beginning to show. Our second scripture from Matthew fast forwards us 30 years or thereabouts to a time when these two miraculous babies are now grown men. Not much between their ages. John's adult life was characterized by devotion and surrender and service to God and to Jesus and his coming kingdom. John's voice was a lone voice in the wilderness. John 1:23 tells us, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet when the people asked him who he was. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. As he proclaimed the coming of the Messiah to a people who desperately needed a saviour. He was the precursor for today's modern day evangelist. And as he unashamedly shared the good news of Jesus Christ, he was a man filled with faith and a role model to those of us who wish to share our faith with others. Just about everybody, well, maybe not everybody nowadays, but most people will have heard of John the Baptist. He was, in fact, a prophet called by God since Malachi some 400 years earlier, and John's coming was foretold over 700 years previously by the prophet Isaiah. As it said, a voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 40. This passage illustrates God's master plan in action, as God selected John to be his special ambassador to proclaim his own coming. And in this scripture, the second scripture Rod read, we find that John has been imprisoned for his criticism of Herod. What I find encouraging about this scripture is that despite the prophecy about him, the incredible miracle of his own birth, even having baptized Jesus and witnessed the Holy Spirit descending upon him at that time, John finds himself in a very bad place. In prison, probably starving, cold, possibly beaten, and perhaps for the first time in his life, doubting himself and his call. I can imagine him saying to himself, "Did I get it all wrong? Was this really my calling? Has it all been worthwhile? Is he really the Christ, the Messiah?" In fact, he even sent his disciples to Jesus to double check. And Jesus answers simply by saying, "Go back and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight. the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Why do I find this so encouraging? It speaks to me of my own humanity, my own doubts and fears and failures. Crumbs, if John the Baptist can have doubts, and he physically knew and was related to Jesus, then surely I'm allowed to have times when I can question things. We are human beings after all. We need encouragement and reassurance at times. None of us are strong enough to survive alone. Even the wonder of everything he'd experienced and lived and seen faded as John was in that prison. But Jesus' response to John, he doesn't rebuke him, tell him off. Why are you doubting me, John? He doesn't tell him off. He simply points to the evidence. And then, as John's disciples are leaving, he goes on to praise John to the people around him. He affirms him publicly. And he affirms John's crucial, pivotal part in the incredible story of God's love for mankind. John was more than a prophet. John, like Jesus, was predicted in the Old Testament. John was chosen to introduce Christ to the world. John baptized the Son of God. And this is what really amazes me when I think about it, is that John's part in this story is like the lens of Old Testament history from creation through to the birth of God's plan for mankind. John is like that lens of what has gone before. Old Testament story and prophecy and history of Israel. He's like that lens which focuses everything on Christ. Like a laser, he points to Jesus. It's like the whole story of the Old Testament and the prophets comes together in this one moment. And John is that lens. This is the Christ. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Wow. Jesus, light of the world. The Jesus we celebrate week in, week out, but particularly at this time, and particularly over the next few weeks, light of the world came down into darkness like a laser. I was thinking about this morning, it's a bit like a bow tie, isn't it? All this history down to this bit in the middle, and then it starts again. History moves on to what God is going to do and is doing. Jesus, Saviour of the world. What a remarkable, remarkable story of God's planning and provision. And why? So that you and me, through all our doubts and fears and concerns and worries, can have a relationship with God Almighty. Wow.